McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
In the UK, MPs have voted in favour of a bill to legalise assisted dying in England and Wales. It'll be months before the proposed changes could become law. At present, laws throughout the UK prevent people from asking for medical help to die, and we all know that, which is the same as Ireland. But I wanted to ask you, if we could, would you... Well, we can, by the way. The Shannon can actually legalise it. It doesn't have to go to referendum. Do you believe that we should legalise it here in Ireland? Do you think that it's, you know, a compassionate choice to give people the option to end their own life if they are suffering? Or do you think there are dangers and consequences to its legalisation? Do you believe it could lead to exploitation of the vulnerable? Take Canada, for example, where they call it MAID, which is medical assistance in dying. As an example, they have the highest rate of assisted dying. 4.1% of all deaths in Canada are due to assisted dying. It's got to the point now where if you're a drug addict, if you're homeless, if you're socially deprived, or even depressed, you can have assisted dying. And that's what people fear when you bring in legislation for assisted dying, that originally the legislation comes in and says, okay, this is only for the terminally ill who've been diagnosed with 6 months to live. But now we're going to expand that to people who might be depressed or people who might be just old and want to leave. You know what I mean? And that's what the fear is. People say, well, once you bring in legislation, the goalposts start to move. So it encourages people in some way to end their lives who feel, well, maybe I'm a burden on other people. And that's not the way we want society to be. So although we wouldn't need a referendum on the matter, if there was one, how would you vote? Yes or no to legalise it? But should they run a referendum? I think so. In the interest of, it's certainly in public interest, they should probably have a referendum under Article 27 of the Constitution, which is called an ordinary referendum, even though it's not necessary under the Constitution. So I want to know, would you vote yes or no in favour of assisted dying? Somebody says, Niall, I don't know about euthanasia. Now, people get confused with euthanasia and assisted dying. They are two different things. And the difference between the two is, with euthanasia, a doctor can administer the fatal drug. With assisted dying, you must do it yourself. The doctor can give it to you. So it's like essentially saying the doctor can give you an injection, that's euthanasia, to die. With assisted dying, the doctor has to hand you the syringe and you must do it yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the kind of difference between the two words because people get confused. Let me go to Joanna first if I can. Joanna, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. I mean, the idea of dying with dignity, isn't that what they call it? Dying with dignity.
Well, do you know something? I think, don't they kind of do that already in hospitals?
In palliative care, you know? Yes, palliative care.
Yeah, palliative care, exactly. I think, I don't mean to sound cruel, but wouldn't you put it like a dog down quicker?
If they were unwell, if they had a terminal illness and they were unwell, yeah, you would.
Now, but at the same time, why I do agree with it, I also think it can be abused as well. Mm. That's the thing that I'd be worried about.
In what sense would you think it would be abused?
In the sense that somebody becomes just a burden.
Okay.
And just like I really don't need this in my life. I have a busy life. This person is,
Right. Okay.
They'd be better off dead and just.
So, well, cause we start convincing people that they're kind of worthless in society and they're a burden on everybody else.
Yep, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. I'd be looking at that. Like, yeah, absolutely. I'd be more concerned about, that, to be fair. And why I know they euthanize people in hospitals. Of course they do when they're at the end. I understand that. But at the same time, if you legalise it, I'm worried that people will take advantage of it for the wrong reasons.
Mm.
Just because somebody's a hindrance, if you like, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Your elderly, sick mother.
I really do believe that. Or, you know the way people, like, you hear about people and, they get their money robbed from them. They get And all they're looking at is the biggest assets that they have, like their houses, everything. And they just really don't want to be bothered wiping their bum, pardon the pun. I really mean that. So just get rid of them and claim their inheritance and whatever. That's what I think.
Well, obviously, with assisted dying, you wouldn't be able to call the death of somebody else. But in saying that, right.
You can make them feel worthless.
You can make them feel like they're a burden. Yeah.
But you are right in what you said. There is a difference in euthanasia and literally assisted dying, because assisted dying, as far as I know, you have to actually physically give the person the pills.
Yeah, or whatever, yeah, to do it themselves, yes, essentially.
There's a glass of water there. But all I'm asking you to do is give me the two pills or whatever it might be. Just hand them to me, please, because I can't physically put the last into my mouth. Just give them to me and I'll do it myself. I understand that. And in hospitals, it's different. I think they do that all the time. And I often wonder if they do it just to free up beds when they know somebody is literally at the end.
I don't think so. I think we understate what doctors and nurses do and the great job they do when somebody is at the end of life and a lot of pain, and they obviously up the dose of the morphine.
I understand it's to take people's pain away as well. Of course it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, they're thinking, well, right, this person probably has about 5 hours left or a day left or whatever, and we need this bed, so let's just up the dosage. There's nothing.
I would hate to think that happens, mind you. You know.
It does happen. I know it does. I know, because I used to be a nurse now. You know, a long time ago, before I had my child. My first child at 4 now.
Well, there would be conversations had about that person is using up a bed. I wish they'd pop their clogs.
Well, it wouldn't actually sound like that now. But, I mean, there would be a team that would have a meeting, I suppose, and consultant, doctor,
whatever. Yeah.
All that, you know. And they would just... I don't think they meant anything bad.
No, I don't think. From what you're saying, it doesn't sound that bad.
I'm probably putting it the wrong way around. It's just that when they know that there is no, that person's coming to the end, and it's just better to put them out there suffering, and they do need that bed. I mean, it does come down to business at the end of the day.
Stay there for a second, Joanna. Let me go to Dave. Dave, that's a very morbid thought, I have to say, that there'd be Russian people.
I know, but it is true, though.
I know. I'm not suggesting it's not. Sorry, Dave, just in relation to assisted dying, I get the point Joanna makes that, you know, you do make people feel maybe worthless, or people feel like they're a burden, or sure, look, that assisted dying is available, ma'am. You know what I mean? Do you want that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I can see a little bit of the point, like whatever about people feeling worthless and stuff. I think that's based on their own personal circumstances and maybe the family they have or haven't around them at the time. But I think, like you were saying from the onset, it's very, very easy to be corrupted. And like in Canada now, as you said yourself at the beginning of your show, that it's so easy to be corrupted. And all of a sudden now you have, I think there's documented cases where 4 to 5 people who served in the military in Canada and ended up in wheelchairs or paraplegic were offered But instead of saying, like, we can give ye help and care and support, they said, you know what, you're a bit fucking annoying. Would you ever just fucking die and leave us alone?
That's the way, and you put it bluntly, but that is the way it is. And here's the thing about, they call it MAID, right? They call it MAID. Insurance companies in Canada now, right, rather than paying to support somebody who might need palliative care or who may need, you know, a surgery.
Long-term care.
Or long-term care. But they won't pay for that, but they'll pay for assisted dying.
Yeah, yeah, but of course they won't pay for that.
There is a difference.
Why would they pay for it?
Hang on, Joanna, yeah, hang on. So Dave, if indeed the government, you know...
Well, you're talking about, like, Niall, if I said to you, like, for example, that I really need your help, and you can either help me by giving me X amount every week and paying for support and a physio to help me to learn how to walk again, and I need all this, or you can just pay one-off payment and I'm dead and I'm not a problem anymore. Like, if financially and you were a heartless bastard, you might turn around and say, well, financially, this makes a lot of sense.
Option two, yeah.
Yeah, kill the bastard. Who cares? And, like, while I think of, like, without bringing a different conversation into it and without muddying the water even further, I would equate this similarly to the abortion. And I think that, like, we were kind of sold the lie in the abortion, and we were kind of, it was a yes or no. It wasn't yes, but these are the terms and conditions, or no, and whatever. But we were just told a yes or a no. And I just think if it came into Ireland, it'd be a similar yes or a no. And then all of a sudden you'd have somebody whose mother owned a house that was worth €1 million, and they were a useless piece of shit and they really needed the money, and the mother wasn't sound of mind anymore. And then all of a sudden it was like, they'll sign off saying, yeah, she always wanted to die if she wasn't ever right facilities anymore.
See,
and I just think it's too easily abused.
But they haven't brought the legislation into the UK yet, but the MPs have passed.
No, I understand that, yeah.
But what I'm saying to you is, in the UK, what they're saying is, at the moment, that the legislation will have a proviso that you must have be terminally ill and have less than six months to live, right? Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I would agree
with that. Like.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I know somebody who was given 4 weeks to live 26 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But these things do happen. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
That's not malice, and that's not a doctor who really hates that person. Like, this is just...
And doctors are blown away sometimes. A tumour shrinks for no apparent reason or whatever. Well, yeah.
My friend's father was told he had 6 months to live 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No. He died, but he died 5 years later. He didn't die 6 months later. Now, it was terminal, but the doctor got it wrong. But the doctor just went off the most valid and the most up-to-date research that he knew. And, you know, it wasn't out of negativeness, and the doctor wasn't gaining anything by saying he was going to die, or, you know.
Mm.
I just feel that... I would have no problem with it, genuinely, if it would have to be in the Constitution, though, the exact wording of how...
Well, here's the thing. Like, it's not
if it went to a referendum or something.
It's not in the Constitution,
I'm saying. Yeah, but I would have to put it in the Constitution.
Okay.
I would have to put it in a way that people would have to have a referendum to change it in any way, shape or form. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in favour of it, because otherwise it's just up to whoever's in political power at the time to change it willy-nilly anyway they feel... suits them.
So what you're saying to me is...
What
you're saying to me is you agree with it in principle, provided there's very strict regulations which are enshrined in the Constitution.
If I was dying and I was in agony and I was like told that 100% you're going to die. Now, even if I didn't know the end date, like, look, you have lung cancer, you're in stage 5, there's nothing we can do. And then maybe I might decide, yeah, I'm going that way myself now. I'm going to just decide to do it. Well, what's the difference? Like, it's like someone else might help you do it and then they end up in prison for the rest of their life out of compassion.
Well, currently, at the moment, if somebody helps you, it's murder. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Mm. It would be, yeah. But it could be purely out of compassion, like, not out of murder. Like, you know what I mean? You're not doing it because you hate the person. Like, if you were with your partner and you saw her agonizing in pain and she begged you and she was of sound mind and you were chatting for like it wasn't like a 1 minute conversation like, oh Jesus, so bad, kill me. But if she said to you and you spoke about it and it was like over the course of a few weeks and you really discussed it and got into the nitty gritty of it, and she said to you, can you please do it for me, because I really don't want to spend the next 4 months in agony, shitting myself, puking, losing weight, losing my hair, not recognizing myself and being in agony. Like, if there's no part of you that would feel compassion for that person and want to end their misery, well then, I don't know.
Hang on there for a second, Dave. Let me just go to Morris. Morris, stay there. I have to go to Mike first. I do apologize. Let's get them in the right order. Mike, hi, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, Mike? Mike, you heard what Dave said. In principle, he kind of agrees, but he's afraid, obviously, that, you know, what happened with the abortion referendum would happen with this, i.e. you bring in a set of rules and then all of a sudden the political party are turning around and saying we want to move those rules and widen the goalpost.
Yeah, but come back to the beer fest and talk simple language. Like, in certain cases, yes, I would agree with abortion. In effect, just say, you know, young girls being raped and all things like that.
Okay.
And this is, you know, this might, I might hit a nerve now, but look, this is, look, we all have our own opinion. And, you know, what do the public and the church expect? Did that child, let it be a child to raise that child? You know,
okay, let's not venture too much into abortion. It's a done deal. It's finished.
Right, okay.
Let's go back to assisted dying, if you can.
Assisted dying, right. And this is, how would I put it, personal now. My dad was a big bear of a man all his life, 26 stone. Bear of a man. I never once spoke back to him until he got sick. Whether it was out of respect or out of fear now, which is a thin line, I don't know. But I was, he was 6 stone when he died.
Wow.
Yeah. He was a bear of a man. Oh, he did, tried to Muslim him. His fucking hands were like the Ethiopian children, kids, people that time. And if I was, we had to mind him, he had dementia there on our left crack. And we had to mind him at home. And look, he couldn't breathe. He was under pressure to breathe and all that thing. And what I think now is that a lot of these doctors are using people as fucking guinea pigs with all these different drugs and things like that. But if I was, and this is fact, if I was strong enough to put a pillow over his head that night, I would, but I mentally wasn't strong enough. I was strong.
Do you think, I don't know if your father was coherent towards the end of his life, the last few weeks of his life?
I told you, Niall, I never spoke back to him all my life. And I remember, and he was there, and he said, I said, sit the fuck down, I said, and conduct yourself. And, you know, he was just, he didn't know where he was. He didn't know whether it was night or day, Niall. And he'd leave the house, and he could go town, and you know, that he just, in his, you know, it was embarrassing now. But and then, you know, there he, okay.
You know, he's the type of person who wouldn't have wanted to die like that, is what you're saying to me.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Like,
with all due respect, you know, unless you've spoke to him about it before, you can't make that decision when you're
in career. 1 second now. Do you know what I think should be done? I'm 61 now, right? I would be prepared to sign an affidavit today, that if ever I get a stroke or a thing like that, give me the tablet and I'll take it myself. I don't want to be a burden to...
But hang on, here's the problem, right? And this is the argument against assisted dying. You shouldn't ever feel like you're a burden, Mike. No matter how unwell you are, there are people out there who've survived strokes, heart attacks, cancers, all sorts of things. Nobody should feel like a burden, because we should have a proper health service and a proper health system that supports people who are unwell.
No, you see, every day I get up, I thank our Lord that I can get up and I'm strong and I'm healthy mentally and physically. But to lose that night, to be inside in the armchair, to be inside and people, you know, is that what is clogging up? And don't get me wrong now, but this is...
No, I know what you mean. I wouldn't like to be in that position either.
Thanks very much. End of story. Point.
Yeah. I wouldn't. No, point.
I wouldn't
like to be in that either, but it's at the end of the day, being a bit of a burden to somebody is not the same as, like, that you feel like you're going to die and then you deserve to have that opportunity to say you're going to die and to take that away from other people. Like, being a burden is not the same thing as, like, you're terminal, you're going to die, and we need to make this decision. And that's what we need to nail down if it's ever going to be brought into our country, is all right. My point is.
Yeah, well, do me a favour, both of you. Just stay there. I need to go to Morris just before the break. Sorry. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? It's a tough one, but I think we're getting to the stage where we have to respect people's lives and their endings as much as we do our animals. Like, if you have a dog or a cat or any sort of an animal, and you go to the vet and say, listen, I have a 14 years, and the vet does a couple of tests and said, God, actually, we might as well let her go. She's riddled with cancer. So why can't we do the same for human beings?
Because we don't care for animals as much as we care for human beings. We should care for human beings.
Hang on.
Well, we do. You're right, Mike. Actually, we do care for animals. But what I'm saying is we should have suitable supports and palliative care. There should be more money invested in all of that sort of stuff for human beings.
Yeah, and I can understand Mike's point as well when he was saying, I don't want to be a burden on anybody. There's a generation of people out there like that would be their parents and Mike's parents, and they grow up and they go, Jesus, I hope God spares me that I'm not a burden on anybody. I mean, Mother said that to me as well before she died, and she's dead 32 years now, and it never left me. They don't want to be a burden on anybody. You just want to go asleep and
But isn't that awful that an elderly person would think they're a burden to anybody?
But that's the world we live in.
I think it's awful. I think it's awful.
They don't want to be a burden on anybody
when you're a baby. But,
Very much so. But like, do you know what loses? Do you know what hurts the people the most? That they can't do anything for themselves, physically or mentally, and they've lost their independence. It kills them.
Yeah,
they die on the
same
inside because somebody comes in into the bed to move them around, to bathe them, to wash them, to give them bed baths. It's demeaning to them, and they don't like it. And they don't like strangers coming into their home, washing them and torning them and doing everything.
So your answer to that is bring in legislation so we can kill them? Because that's essentially what we're saying, and I don't mean to be blunt about it. That's essentially what we're saying. So they can go quickly and just not be the burden on us.
Rather than
looking more deeply into this and saying, well, maybe we should be kinder to people. Maybe we should support people. Maybe we should make people feel like they're not a burden to us.
Well, if you want to think about people that we didn't look after already, look at all the women that are dead because of cervical check going on.
Oh, I know.
And finding out on the road. You know, there's people that were healthy and we couldn't look after them. And then the older people don't want to be here. You know the case about the 200-year-old man that left Australia?
Yeah, but if you're suggesting that people have lost their independence and they feel like a burden, the only reason they feel like a burden is because society has made them feel that way. The same way people with profound disabilities. Do we suggest they're a burden? No, we shouldn't. Absolutely not.
Here's another argument, Noel, as well. I know women, right? And I'm in my 60s, a little bit older than you. And they said to me, do you know what I'm doing, Morris? I said, well, I'm getting cremated because I don't want anybody left with the burden of having to go to the grave and wash it and clean it and keep it nice. Like every woman that has to go to their parents' grave because the boys don't give a shit. So that's the way society is going now. Everything is a burden.
Yeah, just very quickly because I have to go to break. Sorry, Mike, you want to say something?
Cheers, man.
Yes. Can I say one thing there, Niall, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I know how many times in my life today I cried. I had a granduncle at home. We had a granduncle at home and 12 years inside in the bed. And he got bed sores then. And he had to go into hospital. And I lifted him down the stairs in my guard and I cried like a child out there. Right. Because I felt a failure that I couldn't do no more for him. But, you know, and you see, he didn't want that either, like. But he had an operation, his back, he was paralyzed. But, you know, that I didn't regret doing it for 1 minute. Like, I fed him. I was walking home at the time, and I fed him, myself and my brother, we fed him 95% of the time. But, you know, I would not want anybody to do that, to have to expect somebody to do that. And in order, like, people with Alzheimer's now and all them things, they're like, and they have no quality of life. They don't know what's happening to them. And, like, you know, what's their purpose in this world? I'd rather.
What's the purpose of people with Alzheimer's? Is that what you're saying to me?
Well, they have no quality of life.
But how do you know that?
So
somebody is sitting in a chair looking out the window of a home because they have Alzheimer's. The best professors, scientists, doctors in the world don't understand how they feel. We don't know. You were saying they don't have a quality of life. Okay, maybe they have to have a bed bath. Maybe they have to be assisted to go to the bathroom and get changed and get dressed and what have you. But when they're looking out that window, how do you know what's going through their head? How do you know they're not happy just to be alive? How do you know that?
Okay, well,
they may not be able to communicate that to you. But I mean, this idea that we just write people off.
I would be prepared to sign a form that if they did ever have me donate my
house. Oh, well, you can do that. That's what I'm saying. You can do that if you want. That's no problem. But I think to generally look at society in that with that view. I don't know, maybe I think it's wrong. Maybe I think that's the problem. That's why so many people agree with the idea of assisted suicide. Anyway, stay there, Mike and Dave, if you want to. Somebody said, now, where are we in Ireland when it comes to assisted dying? Well, the last time they kind of spoke about it was in October, and Ireland's TDs voted to note a final report by a committee on assisted dying, which calls on the government to legalise assisted dying in certain restricted circumstances. A total of 76 TDs voted in favour of the report, 53 TDs voted against it. The Special Oireachtas Joint Committee at the time on assisted dying published a 96-page report, which was last March, which included 38 recommendations. I know the independent TD Michael Healy-Ray, who was the chair of the committee on assisted dying, was not in favour of the report's recommendations. Healy-Ray published a separate report with Fianna Fáil's Robert Troy and Senator Ronan Mullen. Although it's not a bill that needs a referendum, many people have suggested that a referendum should be called either way on it, and we could do that. That's entirely up to the president. Anyway, let me get back to assisted dying. If there was a referendum, and the rules were that you had to be terminally ill, for the moment, they're the rules, would you vote in favour of it, yes or no? Let me just go to Alan first, if I can. Alan, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall.
Alan, it is a sensitive subject. I understand that, you know.
Well, when I lost my wife 3 years ago, Niall.
Jeez, Alan, I didn't know that. I'm really sorry. I didn't know that. You never told me that before.
I know I did. I told you a good while back. Remember I was telling you that your show keeps me going after my wife.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you did, yeah. Alan. I apologise.
Well, she died 3 years ago of COVID. And if I had seen her in a worse state, I wouldn't like to see her hanging on and on and on. But there is a thin line that you were saying there, Niall, about what's going on in Canada, where they're actually, and what happened in Holland as well, where they actually made a woman go against what she wanted.
That's right.
Where they gave her a lethal injection. So there is a very dangerous grey area.
And that was because that particular woman you're talking about, I'm not too sure what country that was, it Holland or Switzerland, I can't remember. Anyway, she had signed power of attorney over to her husband. And said that that she wanted euthanasia when the time came because she'd been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or whatever it was. When the time came, the husband ordered, okay, you can do it to her now. And then she turned around and said, no, I don't want to die. And he said, ah, fire away, just do it. And they essentially killed her.
That's more than Niall.
Well, it's unfortunately, it's not because the law, she handed over power of attorney.
No, but I'm just saying
legally, morally it is. Morally it is. Of course it is.
It's shocking that they could actually bring in a law that's supposed to alleviate suffering and then cause the ultimate suffering for someone who doesn't want to die, and they go against her wishes at that moment. And that proves then that when you give an eye-opener to any law that allows assisted dying, abuse comes in by the back door. And it's not good. It's very dangerous.
Well, what's quite shocking, and I said it already earlier on, 4.1% of the Canadian population who have died in the last year died from assisted dying.
Now, that is a scandal, Niall.
50,000 people.
And most, we always say Canada is supposed to be a bit more enlightened than America it comes to its health. But when it comes to expediting suffering, it's a backdoor to the fascist regime. It's a form of concentration camp. Oh yeah, you're no good. You're not really worth economics anymore. You've gone to show for the world anymore. So we want to get rid of you. We'll get rid of him. He's got Alzheimer's. He's got a dodgy heart, and he's about to die. Just knock him off. And there's no compassion anymore. It's all about fast food health service, where you get in and you're out, and if you don't fit the criteria, they bring in a law then that actually makes you then get put to death.
But if you trust, and not that people trust the government all the time, but if you trusted the government to stick to the circumstances that the British have suggested as well, which is, let's say, 6 months, that you must be diagnosed with a terminal illness and 6 months to live. And by the way, it's not that somebody else can make the decision on your behalf. It's assisted dying. You must make the decision yourself. So, and you must be copus, yeah. and you also must be copus mentis to make that decision.
Well, Niall, the law, when it comes in, if it came in England in the next year or two,
It will.
Ireland will follow. We always follow the English when it comes to
We were actually ahead of Britain on this one. It's just that we've taken our time, because I can tell you now, there was no government was going to discuss this before an election.
Well, we're getting that way now, where we're seeing a lot of people, like what's happened in Canada, remember you were saying that during a night Niall, where people who are, oh, well, you haven't got a house to live in and you're poverty stricken, so here's a lethal injection. That's very scary, Niall.
Yeah, I watched a documentary about that guy.
Here's me,
yeah.
Niall, right? Yeah. I have bipolar and I suffer with depression and I get very down. So they'll say to me, oh, well, you're never going to recover properly, so here's a lethal injection. It's a form of whitewashing, getting rid of the problem rather than trying to solve it.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Jonathan and Pauline. I've got about 5-6 minutes here. Jonathan, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Noel. How are you?
Good. Jonathan, Alan's saying it's a form of whitewashing, getting rid of people who may be a burden on society. And I'm not going to completely disagree with him because look what Canada have done. And I watched a documentary about a guy who was disabled and he can't get a house from the housing department, but he was offered assisted dying.
Oh, yeah, Canada's gone to the dogs. Canada's in a bad way with that, with all pilot in charge over there. No, I don't agree with it. No, it'll be taken advantage of, like, you know, it will. Everyone will be a burden. And I find it very strange that, like, 4 years ago, we were trying to save everybody on the planet. Let's save everybody. And now, all of a sudden, we're trying to kill everybody off. You know, it's just crazy. Use my language.
But are we trying to kill people off, or as some people are saying, is it not giving people the option to die with dignity?
No, you know, the language is pure and the videos, you know, that's what will happen.
Your line is breaking up, Jonathan. Just move into a different room there.
Yeah.
You need a new provider. Yeah, that's a bit better. Go ahead, Jonathan. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you know, I used to work in a hospital years ago, you know, for old people. And they just get dropped off. And you wouldn't see their sons and daughters again, maybe every 6 months or two.
So you're saying some older people feel like an inconvenience, is what you're saying? Yeah.
Well, see, you know, and people are like the elderly people. We don't respect them enough. We don't appreciate them enough for what they've done. You know, we really do lack compassion. It's getting worse. The more liberal we get, the less compassionate we get.
Older people didn't feel like that 30 years ago. They feel like that now because they're made to feel it. Society has made them feel. Like when they get to a point where they're not independent and they have to have their nappy changed or they have to be washed or helped, you know, to get dressed, they feel like a burden. They didn't feel like a burden 30 or 40 years ago because they weren't. You know what I mean?
Because you have bigger families as well, though. Because you have bigger families as well, you know. A lot of 4 or 5 girls, you know, in the family would take care of them till they were in the grave. You know, that's the way it was. We used to respect their elderly. We used to have, you know, but now it's like everything's too fast. Like the lad before said, it's all too fast.
Yeah, that's what Alan is saying. Everything is just moving too fast. Stay there. I've only got 2 minutes and I want to get Pauline in just before the break as well. Pauline, hi, how are you?
Hi, Noel. I'm absolutely shocked that they're even trying to bring this in. First of all, what's happened with the election? The elite making sure that they got to get
their jobs back again. Yeah. Well, Pauline, I've only got 2 minutes, so just focus on the assisted dying. Forget about the election for the moment. Go ahead.
Well, they have total control of the housing now and the people coming into the country. That's where their money is coming from, the TDs, those in government, let's put it that way. And they've ensured that that's where their income is going to come from. That's the elite looking after themselves, while the plebs sat watching EastEnders and whatever else, Coronation Street, and then the young people who didn't give a shite and don't understand what's going on because they're kept stupid. Like, I mean, this is just, we are doomed. But as far as this is concerned, when are people going to wake up? They are depopulating the world. That is what the World Economic Forum are putting to every government who are puppets, their puppets, and the EU. When are people going to wake up?
Well, is it not part of that? I understand that's your view of it, and I get where you're coming from, and some people hold that view too, that this is kind of effort to reduce the population of the world because the world is slightly overpopulated. But in saying that, there are other people who will think of it as, well, all we're trying to do is let people die with some dignity.
It's murder. That is what it is. It's legalised murder.
Well, it's not. Assisted dying is not euthanasia. There's a slight difference. Assisted dying where the person does it themselves.
No, Niall, to help a person to take their own life is to stop their heartbeat. It's to end their life. Assisted, you can call it whatever you like. It's murder. And so is abortion. Same thing. Now, if this country keeps it up and keeps going down that road, and we're doomed anyway with what you've done with the government, you have no idea what's coming. Absolutely none.
Now,
Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1-800-50-1111. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.